Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My guest today is Kay Scott, and you're going to want to be sure and listen to what he has to say about how our driving habits... Now, listen, you got to stick with me. This is interesting stuff. Our driving habits help to shape and form our personalities, and we can work on our personalities as we practice our driving. You need to listen to this guy. It's very interesting. And we'll be back with Kay Scott right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, send me some mail, mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I'd love to hear how you do it. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Kay Scott. He's got a book called Drive Me to Think. Kay Scott, how you doing today?
I am doing great, Rodney. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, and you're calling us in from New York there, and we have a tradition here on the Journey of Hope where we have our guests tell us a little bit about themselves before we get started. Can you do that for us?
Sure. Yes, I am a father of three, chasing kids around like so many of us out here, born and bred in Long Island, went to school at Columbia University and found that I liked to write later in life.
Okay. And the book Drive Me to Think, how did you come to that? And tell us a little bit about that process.
Sure. In fact, I'll take you back to more years than I want to admit, but I'll take you back to college, and I started tinkering with, religion, study of religion and spirituality in some elective-type classes at Columbia University. And I really got intrigued by how, the major religions, especially the monotheistic ones, are kind of all agreeing we have the same God, yet we can't kind of be peaceful together. And I took those studies with me to work, and I'd often read in the morning, whatever it was, and I'd even have, CDs in the car as I'm driving. So some real high spiritual tenets. You get behind the wheel, and the next thing I know, I'm agitated at the driver in the left lane who's not quite going fast enough for my liking. So I found this this self-awareness of, wow, what is it about how we act when we get behind the wheel and how we kind of tend to start treating each other as, people in the way, as opposed to, mothers and fathers and grandmas and young drivers and people just looking for the right turn, where we tend to lose our patience and get agitated, and we become, some of us or many of us, the worst type of hypocrites as well. So that realization brought me to kind of study that a bit, and it's what I call a second level of separation, if you've ever read or heard about what is called often in spiritual circles the first separation, away from blissful oneness and perfection, creator, universe, God, where we get into the body for this dualistic experience. And I said, well, then it seems that when we climb into the car, we separate one degree even more, from what might be a true essence, and into this kind of challenging world of driving.
It's so true. And, guilty of all those things, I can tell you. Of course, Ted Cruz would say that's the typical New Yorker, I think. But
yeah, that's right. New York values, right.
Yeah, New York values. Maybe that's what he was talking about. But, I was gone for a while, and I came home. Here, I live in a suburb of Houston, Texas. I was gone for about 8 years, and when I came back, it was immediately noticeable to me the increase in aggressiveness in people's driving.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, it was immediately, no, I mean, I wasn't home 3 or 4 days, and I started seeing it, and so, yeah, I can relate to all of this. Okay, you say that practicing patience, forgiveness, and safety make us powerful. Talk about some examples of that.
Yeah, so it's right back to the fact that it is just more challenging to remain peaceful when we're behind the wheel. So I refer to driving as this kind of perfect divine challenge that many of us get to experience every day if we're up for it, to stay peaceful. And in fact, there's a quote in my book. It's one of these moments that I was so kind of moved, and I guess maybe I'll just refer to it. But basically, I say in the book, staying peaceful no matter what is both a blessed cause and the eternal effect. Riches will flow, purpose will inspire, and love will unfold. Practice it while driving, and choose it always. And what I mean by that is that we can take this time, we can plan for this time where we know someone's going to, you know, cut us off or not let us in. And we can just say, you know what, I'm going to take that moment and transform it from what would normally agitate me and get me into some mini road rage where I'm mad at someone I don't even know, right? And I'm going to transform that into a moment of law of attraction. I'm going to use everything that would normally agitate me, and I'm going to use those as reminders to think about my goals and passions and the people I love in my life, and just completely transform that next moment and every other moment as long as I am aware, and transform those into law of attraction times. And if you've heard about alpha brain waves, when we're semi-distracted in the shower or driving, that's when our brain is distracted enough to actually get these impulses and great ideas and inventions. So if we just allow that to happen instead of the agitation and anger, we are then transforming our lives, transforming those moments.
And because working on those things within ourselves is not something that, you know, we can just say, okay, I'm going to fix, you know, being a not very patient or forgiving person. It takes effort, doesn't it? And it takes time as well. Wouldn't you agree?
It does, and it's such an excellent point. And here's the silver lining, is that the more difficult it is, you know, and some people are very calm drivers, right? But many you see out there, they transform. But the silver lining is that the more difficult it is, and the more I speak to people, the more it is that you just don't want to let that person go who's kind of weaving through traffic, and their time is much more important than everyone else's. But the more challenging it is, the more benefit you get from it when you do overcome and you transform. And it's not, that's why I call it a perfect divine practice ground, because if we are able to do it on a daily basis and practice behind the wheel and kind of follow the steps that are in the book that kind of help us get there and get us excited about the alternative, which is your goals and passions and love in life, and expect that the more you do that, the more you forgive, you actually turn around and you see to yourself, wow, I am so proud of myself that I really am not letting this guy bother me.
I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, just as, I guess it's kind of a side note, but, you know, getting pissed off at people is dangerous, you know?
Yes.
I've had to tell my wife, she doesn't have a problem with this anymore, but years ago, she was a little heavy on the horn, you know? These days, in my neck of the woods where I live, you honk your horn at somebody or you show them that middle finger, they might shoot you. I only say that sort of jokingly, because there isn't a month or two that goes by where there's not an article where, you know, somebody got mad and killed somebody on a freeway, you know? And so it's dangerous too. And I guess just in a way, it's kind of a side note, but really it's not, sort of. But anyway, well, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
It's two things, you know, the benefits are that everything becomes safer for your personal world as you don't engage in any of these things, and your spiritual world. And it's funny, the more I continue studying the road rage. And in fact, my website, drivingtothink.com, is also a blog, and I did a piece on road rage. And the more I reach out to folks involved in road rage or someone just speaks to me, the more I hear that every one of them says, I cannot believe that was me. I can't let it escalate like that.
We're
not ourselves. We are not ourselves when we let these things happen.
That is so true.
We are much,
But you have a really cool blog, by the way, and we'll talk about that more in just a second. Okay, you talk about something called the superhighway model. What is that?
Yeah, that is a kind of a way of looking at life where, you know, step one is that your life, our life, whoever, the experience you're in, you are exactly where you're supposed to be right now at this moment, for your life to be what it was supposed to be. And it's all about emotion. It's the emotions that you choose that are all that's really real. And really, it basically means the joy that we should be choosing to perceive in everything that comes our way, whether we label those things as good, bad, or challenges or not. You know, A Course in Miracles has one of my favorite quotes, which is that heaven, which is now, because there is only now, heaven is a conscious choice. So we get to choose how we feel about our lives and whether we think we've screwed them up or not, or somewhere in between. And then this superhighway is simply choosing peace and joy now, and then following our passions. And then the superhighway allows us to then just jump up levels to different levels of life, of higher consciousness, as we go through and continue to perceive joy in everything that comes our way.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Very good stuff. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a second here, and I want to get your response to this. So we're working on, you know, not letting our temper get the best of us, trying to be empathetic, practicing empathy, practicing forgiveness, and in a way just kind of letting the little stuff go, you know, because in the realm of life, someone cutting you off is not the end of the world. You know, it's not losing a job or an illness or so. Yeah. Here's my question to you. If we're good at doing that and we keep pushing that kind of stuff down, is there a consequence for not releasing that? And if we do release it, how do you release that in a healthy way?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, you never want to bury, and that's why I said that that the moment that you do it. So if you get behind your car, and this is all in the book about how to just set up and get excited for the next opportunity to forgive someone. So now you're not dreading it, and you're not expecting it and saying, oh, I hope I don't get too angry. You are excited for the next opportunity. And when it happens, and sure enough, especially in the New York metro area, it happens quite quickly, that opportunity to forgive comes up, and you're not burying it. You're excited for it, because guess what it just did? It reminded me to think about my goals, the things I want to attract into my life. And none of what I want to attract into my life has anything to do with negativity or even forgiving in the way that is not quite the right way, which is to say, this guy just did something bad to me, but I'm going to let him off the hook. It's even transcending that to say that, hey, this thing that I just experienced happened to remind me of joy and my life's passion. That's what it's nice. There for. So there's no burying of emotion. It is a pure, and there's a lot more in the book about it, but it is a transcendence of life almost, where you are becoming the witness of your newer, higher self, enjoying every moment, even those that used to get us extremely angry. And when you do find that yourself is doing it and you're the witness and you're saying, wow, that used to really anger me. I used to berate the guy and get right on his back bumper to show him that he wronged me. And when you see yourself not doing it, you're really happy and proud of yourself. So there is no burying of emotion when it's truly transcended and transformed.
All right, cool. And you said that you you talk about all these things in the book, but you also address some other things in your blog. You got a really cool blog. What are some of the issues that are related to this that you address in your blog, just so people know?
Sure. Yeah. So I also studied politics, political science at Columbia University. So it's kind of a unique blend of some spiritual classes and politics. So cool. I like to I like to bring up politics because I find that much like driving, politics tend to bring out the worst in some people. The anger. You know, it's funny because we're the left and the right, if you will, we all have the same agenda. That is for more people to do better and to be happier. And, we differ about how to do that. But, you know, ultimately we're on the same team. So the levels of anger I see are quite amazing. So in the blog, I try to bring up some of these things and point out how we really don't know anything. We don't know the right answer. We don't know that your opinion is better than the other opinion, you know? So it's like, let go of your strong opinions, accept this stuff as things that are, you know, coming into our life and be respectful of other people's opinions, because their opinions are based on their, you know, who they are, what body they're in, their experiences, just like yours are. So, of course, they're going to differ here or there, but let go of the strong opinion. Go, life is so much better.
Wow, that's cool. It's so much, you know, politics, everybody draws a line in the sand, you know, and they're too rigid about getting up close to that line. But anyway, you got a really cool blog. How do we get to the blog, and tell us how to get the book?
Sure. So it's real simple, because everything is there at the blog, which acts as the website as well. So the links to the book, which is on Amazon and a couple of other places, are all right there. So it's and you can get in touch with me as well for speaking or anything else. I'm doing more of the speaking to younger drivers and some of the companies that employ a lot of drivers, where, you know, there's a lot at stake. And basically, it's drivemetothink.com.
Very good. Kay Scott, the book's called Drive Me to Think. Mr. Scott, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Yes, and thanks for having me, Rodney. Have a good one.
We will. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Love to get mail from you. If you've got an idea for a show or you want to share your story, let me know how you're doing. I sure would like to hear from you. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Yes, Kay Scott, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.